If you will, please, I want you to take your Bibles tonight. Turn to Genesis chapter number 38. Genesis chapter number 38. Many, many weeks ago, we started a series on the subject of separation. Tonight, we will continue that series. Last week, the lesson was on the subject of separation from adultery. This week, as I announced last week, it's on the subject of separation from fornication. I'll explain the basic difference between those two words in just a moment. Genesis chapter 38, I want you to find verse number 24. Genesis 38, verse 24. If you would please, would you stand with me? We're going to read one verse here, then we're going to flip to another verse or two in the New Testament. Genesis chapter 38, and look at verse number 24. The Bible says this, "And it came to pass about 3 months after that it was told Judah, saying, Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, hath played the harlot. And also, behold, she is with child by whoredom. And Judah said, Bring her forth, and let her be burnt." Now, I want you to take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to find verse number 18 and verse number 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 and 19. The Bible says this, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would meet with us tonight. God, give me the attention of the people. I certainly, Lord, will give you my attention. Holy Spirit, take the lecture, take the lesson, the sermon, and use it, God, to help us to be clean and pure. There are some here tonight that what they'll hear, they've never heard before. Others, it will be a reminder. Father, we live in a day and age where sermons such as this are avoided by preachers. Now, Father, you told us that we should preach and teach the whole counsel of God. So tonight we approach a sensitive matter, but a sin that seems to be rampant in our country today. Help us, Father, that just because everybody else is doing it, that we would know we're only to do that which the Bible teaches us to do, and never should we do what the Bible teaches us not to do. So bless us tonight as we study this subject, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. If you're listening when we read from Genesis chapter 38, you see a lady there by the name of Tamar. Her father's name was Elam, E-L-A-M. At this time in her life, she is unmarried. And the Bible says that she was behaving she's living a life of whoredom. Which virtually happened if you studied the entire story. She is single. Now, she had been married, but her husband died, and she is single. And she practices whoredom. And the word whoredom there did not necessarily mean that she was having multiple partners, but she had fornicated. She had slept with somebody that she was not married to. And the Bible tells us, if you're listening to it, she ends up pregnant out of wedlock. Now, if you noticed it, let me read the whole verse to you again. It says, "And it came to pass about 3 months after that it was told Judah, saying, Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, hath played the harlot. And also, behold, she is with child by whoredom. And Judah said, Bring her forth and let her be burnt." There are sins in the Old Testament that were punishable by death. And you, if you're looking when it talks about being burnt, I want you to stop and realize something. You and the people in this society today, they may not look at fornication as a bad sin, but it is very obvious in the Old Testament, and so you know, in the New Testament, and to God today, it was a very wicked and a wrong thing to do. Now, we also read from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 and 19. I'm going to read this to you again. It says, flee fornication. Now, that's interesting. Of course, the sermon tonight is that a part of that series on the subject of separation. So when God uses the term flee fornication, what is He teaching? He's teaching separation. He's saying separate from this thing called fornication. Now, when the Bible is talking about flee here, it means avoid it, means retreat or bolt or run, depart, get away, fly away. My mom would say scoot along, scoot along, scram. Have you ever heard the word skedaddle? Okay, I knew it was a real word. Skedaddle. And someone would say, well, it's split. How about the word, you ever heard the word vamoose? Okay, good. Scamper, leave, get away, elude it, evade it, get away from it. But basically the word flee is saying separate from it. Now, I got very interested in the word flee. And I thought, I wonder that word. I think God uses the words that He uses in the Bible on purpose. I don't think there's any word in the Bible that's an afterthought. I don't think God was in heaven one day scratching His head saying, oh, I just can't think of a good word. I'll just pop anything in here. No, God knew exactly what He was doing. In Leviticus 26:36, it says someone would flee if there was someone trying to kill them with a sharp sword. In Job chapter 20, verse number 24, it says you would flee if someone were about to take a big iron weapon like an iron hammer and bash your head in. In Amos chapter 5, verse number 19, the word flee is used in regard to a lion chasing a person. In Acts chapter 27, verse number 30, it's talking about people fleeing from a terrible storm like a hurricane. Now, God says you should flee fornication like you would run from a wild lion. Like you would run from somebody that had a sword that wanted to drive you through with their sword. Like someone that had a big, huge iron hammer they were going to bust your head in. A terrible storm. The word flee was an urgent word. Now, look, if a lion were coming at you, you would not say, Mr. Lion, could you give me just a moment? I'm going to run. I'd just like to kind of catch my breath. And could you give me a head start? Now, look, you'd run as fast as you could because you knew the danger could be life-ending or life-threatening. You see, adultery and fornication are overpowering dangers. They're things that your flesh will not handle if you don't just run. He's not saying, I want you to stay and fight the lion. He's saying, run from this lion. Now, I want to recommend to everybody in here, you run from immorality. Why? Your physical passions may overcome your strength, and the best thing to do is not play in the backyard where there's a lion. Get out of the yard. That's the recommendation. That's why He says, flee. If you're saying, oh, preacher, don't worry, I'm strong enough, I would merely say this to you. You're an idiot. I know greater people than you that thought they were strong enough and they were not strong enough. And if David was not strong enough, I doubt that you're strong enough. So, the sin of fornication is one from which God recommends we flee. And remember, if you did a Bible study about flee, it's talking about get out of there as fast and run as hard and don't look back. because whatever's coming after you will overtake you. It's stronger than you. I'm going to throw a statistic in here. I'll probably come back to it later on. Do you know that 50% of the people who have premarital physical relations, their marriages end up in divorce? Get this, though. Only 2% of those who save themselves so they're pure at marriage end up in divorce. Isn't that amazing? Half that have premarital relations, it affects their marriage, and there's more hanky-panky somewhere later that can destroy them. But only 2% of those who wait end up in divorce. I like those statistics. Parents, forgive me while I go for the best for your kids. Amen. Young people, keep your hands off of each other. Don't touch each other. Wait until you get married. You say why? Because I'd like to see you be a part of the 98% that get married and stay married, and you don't let sexual misbehaviors destroy your life and your relationships. So, now, what is fornication? And that's the first thing that I'll deal with. The dictionary meaning of the word fornication means a voluntary physical relationship or sexual relationship between two unmarried people. Now, I'll go into this just a little bit more. Fornication includes more than that, but what it's saying is if somebody's unmarried and they're having a physical relationship. And I'm trying not to use the word sexual a lot, but I think you all know what I'm talking about. So fornication is when an unmarried person and an unmarried person come together physically. Now, adultery is when that relationship, that inappropriate physical relationship, is between a married person and somebody they're not married to. Fornication, though, is primarily when it's unmarried people or single people. If you can turn quickly, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. We're going to look at verse number 1 and 2. And I want you to be able to use your Bible, but I don't want to keep you here till midnight. I've got a lot of Bible verses we'll turn to. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, look at verse number 1 and 2. We're trying to figure out what is this thing called fornication. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Now, concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband." Now, here, God is telling us that we are to, if we want to avoid fornication, then the thing you do is you just keep your hands off of people that you're not married to. Because fornication is between people that are unmarried, so unmarried people shouldn't be touching. And you say, why? Because the touching casually can turn into touching sinfully. And so when it says, "Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto thee, is good for a man not to touch a woman." Now, I don't have time. I wish I did. The word "touch" there has a more than just a simple definition. It's talking about physical touch. But the word "touch" there, if it were defined in the Greek, it really adds up to setting one on fire. Touch turns something on. You say, "But when I was touching her, I was not touching her to turn her on." But you're not the one that decides whether she's turned on or not. She does. Or he does. So, when I say, when you hear your preacher say, "Just keep your hands off of each other till you're married," you say, "What do you mean by that?" Exactly what I said. Just keep your hands off each other. Yes. Don't touch what does not belong to you. Amen. You're better off that way. Both terms, fornication and adultery, are used to express this disloyal, sinful behavior. And if it's Christians, and remember something, you have to remember that we as Christians, we are the bride, and Christ is the groom. We're to be loyal to Him and Him only. And there's a commitment of loyalty that we're to have to Him. You'll find out later on, I'll use a scripture that tells you, your body belongs to God. You shouldn't be letting somebody else touch something that belongs to God other than that scriptural legal touch that would come between a husband and a wife. The term fornication, it describes other things than just a single person that's misbehaving sexually. It could describe, it would include sodomy, and it would describe incest and parts of adultery and bestiality. When you get into the sexual sins, they kind of get bundled together. But most of the time, when you're talking about fornication, you're talking about inappropriate physical touch between single people. And adultery, most of the time, it's referring to inappropriate sexual activity between a married person and somebody else that they're not married to. So that's what fornication is. Number two, the Bible teaches us to separate from fornication. Separate from it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is where we'll go. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I want us to look at verse number 3 and 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're going to look at verse 3 and 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, the Bible says this: "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor." Now, here, if you noticed, it said that we should abstain from fornication. What does abstain mean? Well, it means separate. Don't do it. Then it uses twice in those two verses the word sanctification. Well, what is sanctification? Sanctification is being set apart. Okay, so in two verses, he is mentioning fornication, and he says abstain, sanctify. Three times, he basically says separate. Right. He's teaching separation, and that's what he's telling us. You need to separate from fornication. That means get away from it, stay away from it. Now, if we went to Acts chapter 15, verse number 20, you would see the word abstain again, and it says abstain from fornication. In Acts chapter 15, verse number 29, again, it uses the very same word, abstain from fornication. So, fornication predominantly is inappropriate physical behavior between two unmarried people. And the Bible very clearly teaches that you are to abstain from fornication, which means to separate from this behavior. Number three, fornication is very common in our society, but it is still a sin. Fornication is very common in our society, but it is still a sin. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, I want you to find verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 1. The Bible says this: "It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. And such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife." Now, I want you to look back at me. This is happening in a church called the Church of Corinth. The Church of Corinth was a very physical church. It was a backslidden church, and they were being found guilty for their sexual misbehaviors. And God writes to them in this book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians is a letter to the church at Corinth. And he said, "It is reported commonly among you that there's fornication." Now, I think God could write a letter to America and say, "It is reported commonly among you that there is fornication taking place in America." It used to be that preachers and teachers would preach against fornication, and they weren't afraid to. I graduated from high school in 1978. I can remember in my public school, one of my teachers, who happened to be a Christian, standing up in class and telling the class, "You ought not be out fornicating." I'm so glad to hear that. Now, kids don't hear that anymore. Matter of fact, you're probably shocked that even in 1978, a teacher had the tenacity to get up and say something about it. But that teacher did. He was a coach, and he knew a lot of the athletes and the cheerleaders were just acting like a bunch of whoremongers, and he got up and made it very clear, I don't think you ought to be out fornicating. But it's not real, you don't hear anybody say much about it anymore. When's the last time that you heard your television preacher stand up and preach against fornication? They don't. They don't. But the Bible says, though it was common, the preacher, Paul said, this needs to stop. This fornication needs to stop. So it was common in that church that day, and it's common in this day. Now, take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let me show you a verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13. This temptation to do wrong physically, it's common. Everybody faces it. It's not just a few that face it. It says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Look back at me for a minute. In other words, every human being can be tempted with the common misbehaviors. But it goes on to say here, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. You say, well, is the temptation to do wrong sexually, is that common? Yes, it is. You say, well, God said that He would give us a way to escape. How do we escape? Stay separated. Run. Flee. Do what God said. He said, don't dabble. Don't put yourself in a situation because your physical passions will kick in, and before long you'll be saying, why did I do that? I should have had more sense than that. I know better than that. I shouldn't have behaved that way. Don't put yourself in a situation where you're up close to the potential or the possibility of fornicating. So, we see it is a common temptation, but it doesn't have to overwhelm us. It doesn't have to overtake us. God promises that He will give us a way to escape. That escape there is, He says, separate from this temptation. All right? So, we found out what fornication is. That was point one. Number two, we see the Bible clearly says to separate from it, abstain from it. Number three, we found out that fornication is a common thing, but it is still a sin. Hey, just because everybody's doing it doesn't make it right. Purity is still what God wants, both with the married and the unmarried. Unmarried people, you should desire to go to the wedding altar virgin. That ought to be your desire, and that ought to be your goal. It's very sad, but in today's society, young people that want to keep themselves pure and virgin, they'll be mocked and teased and tested. They'll even be entrapped with the desire to try to take that from them. But I'm just telling you, fornication, it's common in our society, but it is still a sin. Now, number four, fornication, the Bible uses this term. It says it defiles people. It defiles them. Look at Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, I want us to look at verse number 19 and 20. Matthew 15, verse 19 and 20. Here the Bible says, Matthew 15, 19 and 20, for out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. So, here, God said, fornication defiles. You say, what does the word defile mean? It means it violates one's purity. It means it violates one's chastity. Defile, defiling is like contamination, degrading something. It makes it dirty. It disgraces it. It brings dishonor to it. Smears it, soils it, taints it, tarnishes it, makes it foul. You would use, and some of you will understand this term, it deflowers it. You know what's amazing? I don't know if you're listening to the whole verse, but it talks about fornication defiles you. But you won't eat with dirty hands because you think that is defiling. You know what God's saying? He's saying there are people that will not eat with their hands dirty. They're going to wash their hands before they eat. Then they'll turn around and they'll go commit fornication or adultery. God said, what knuckleheads you are. Eating with dirty hands is nothing compared to the defiling of the body with impropriety between the sexes. But we make ourselves feel good because we washed our hands and we sang happy birthday while we did to get the germs off, and then you go sleep with somebody you're not married to. God said the reasoning of the human race is limited to the brain of an ant. Matter of fact, you could probably have more sense with the ants. So, you defile when you commit fornication. You defile yourself physically. You defile your partner physically. You defile your spiritual testimony. Whether you understand or not, you defile your mind. So, the Bible uses, and that's point number four, the Bible says fornication defiles people. Now, number five. What are some of the consequences that the Bible teaches for committing fornication? Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 4, it's a verse we used last year. We'll use it again now. Last week. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 4, the Bible says this, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. What God is saying here is misbehavior physically, and I'm talking about inappropriate physical contact between the sexes. He is saying that there's a judgment that comes upon someone. He said, the way it's to be done is through marriage. You get married, and then you appropriately then have physical contact with the opposite sex. But he said, God said, I'll judge if you do it any other way. Now, I'm sure there are a lot of things about America that really disappoint God, and I think disgust God. You know, we worry about what about these heathen nations, and we worry about what about the economy. Can I tell you something? If you really want to worry about America, you better worry about America's morality. God's wiped cities off the map because of immorality. I couldn't find anywhere in the Bible because the economy was not going well that God said, I'm coming after you because of your economy. No, God will come after you because of your sexual impropriety. So God said, I'll judge. You can never tell what statistics are true and what are not, but sexually transmitted diseases, they say there are 12 million new cases reported every year in the United States of America. 67% of those occur among those that are unmarried and under the age of 25. And that's because you're talking about the subject of fornication. Here's the sad thing, and young people, listen real carefully. Someone goes out and they fornicate and they have a relationship physically with someone and they should not be doing it. You can pick up a disease from that person, but you also need to know that some of those diseases can sterilize you. You say, what does that mean? It can make it so you cannot have children. That might not be a big deal to you today, but it will be. It will be. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if you want to turn to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I want us to look at verse number 21. 2 Corinthians 12, 21. The Bible says this, it says, and lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. Now, I want you to understand, we're talking now, point number five, the consequences, what's the result of committing fornication. God has a special judgment. I think there are diseases that are passed around because of sexual misbehavior. Here it says that fornication makes you unclean. You say, well, I bathe all the time. I'll go back to what God was saying just a moment ago. You wash your hands, but you are morally dirty. But it makes you unclean. It makes you physically unclean, mentally unclean. It makes your testimony unclean. Do you know that since 1973, approximately 46 million babies have been aborted? They say many of them are the result of babies that were conceived in fornication. Say, what are you saying? People that are not married go out and have physical contact. Somebody ends up pregnant and they don't want the responsibility of a baby, so they abort it. So the consequences are heavy. You do all understand when everybody says, boy, abortion's bad and that's sin. Well, let's trace it. Where does it come from? I mean, those babies come from somewhere. From where? Many, many, many times they come from people that have not handled themselves purely and cleanly in their physical relationship. They're unmarried. All right. Number six. What are some things that we can do to help ourselves to prevent fornication? Now, we see that it's dangerous and we're to run from it, we're to flee from it, we're to race out of the room like a wild lion is chasing us, and there are consequences, and it's going to hurt us. So what can I do to prevent it? Well, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I want you to look at verse number 3 real quick. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3, we were there earlier. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3, it says this, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. If you want help preventing fornication in your life, I'm going to give you a real simple thought. What you need to do is want the will of God. You know, see what it said there is, it says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, which actually means this. If you want the will of God, then you'll abstain from fornication. If you want fornication, you don't want the will of God for your life. So I can help you. We make it real simple. If everybody here will just want the will of God, we could shut our Bibles and go home. But I get paid by the hour, so we're going to keep going. But if you want to abstain, if you want to have victory over fornication, decide that you want the will of God. And I know that sounds simple, but I believe there are all sorts of people that have not made the final decision, I want the will of God in my life. They constantly toy with, do I want the will of God? Do I want my will? Do I want somebody else's will? You need to want the will of God. That will help you with fornication. Then, Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 14. If you'll turn there, there's another something here that we can do to help ourselves with fornication. Ephesians 6:14, it says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness. Now, what's this talking about? It's talking about committing yourself to purity. The loins picture the private area. And God is saying you gird your loins, you protect your loins with truth. So God's basically saying you let the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God protect you from improprieties that involve the loins. And that's where you say, the Scripture says I shouldn't do this, so I'm going to let that protect me. Now, I'm going to put the Scripture between me and wrong. So, if I want the will of God, that'll help me. If I'll commit myself to purity, then look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And we've looked at this before, but I'll just give it to you again because I really like it. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 1 and verse number 2. So it says, now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. And let every woman have her own husband. Okay, so if you want to avoid fornication, you need to want the will of God. If you want to avoid fornication, you need to let the Scripture come between you. Gird your loins with the truth. Now it says, don't touch. Now you'll think I'm an old fuddy-dud. And you'll think your preacher's just dumb and fell off the silly wagon. But if you if you don't turn yourself on by holding hands and necking and petting, you probably won't end up fornicating. Right. So you distance yourself. Let me give you something else that it says here. Look at in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 2. It says, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. So what's the answer? I'll explain the answer to everybody in here. Young people, there's nothing in the world wrong with you wanting the opposite sex. You just got to wait for God's timing. You say, when's that? When you get married. Everybody in here wants you to have a husband and a wife. We're for it. Just wait till the time's right. If you wait till the time's right, then you don't fornicate. Pretty simple, isn't it? Oh, but in the trenches, it's much more difficult than that. And I realize that. That's why I say run. Run. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 13. And I probably need to talk faster here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 13. The Bible says this. Meats for the belly. Amen. And the belly for meats. I'm not sure what that means. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. Young people, and everybody here, understand, your body, the Bible says, is not for fornication. It's for the Lord. Which means this. Your body belongs to God. You have no right to let anybody touch your body except for the one God's given permission, which is your spouse. You understand God's saying, what are you doing letting my body get touched by somebody you're not married to? It's God's body. So when you're petting and necking and fornicating or committing adultery, you do understand that's God's body. You have gotten into that mess. I'm pretty sure God's not happy with that. Okay, we got to move on. Go to Jude. Way back there in the back of your Bible. No, it's not the book of Hey Jude. It's Jude. Jude, verse number 7. The Bible says this. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication. Look back at me. Notice the words giving themselves over. Now what are we talking about? I'm trying to very quickly say, here's some things that will help you to prevent fornication. First of all, you got to want the will of God. That'll help prevent it. You commit yourself to purity. That is girding your loins with truth. You don't touch. You wait for marriage and you plan to wait for marriage. You realize your body is not yours, but it's God's, and you have no right to use God's body to do what your passions lead you to do. Now, it says they were giving themselves over to fornication. Can I recommend this to everybody here? Don't give up on being pure. Here it says they gave their bodies over to it. That means that there must have been some struggle at the first. But they're giving up. They're giving in. Now, if you struggle with your purity, don't quit the struggle. Keep fighting. Keep saying no. Keep saying I'm going to get this under control. Keep telling your eyes, look away from that. Look away from that. Look away from that. These people, they gave up. And they went from probably dabbling in sexual misconduct. They gave in, gave up, and it took them over. And it became their lifestyle. Don't let that happen to you. I love the verse in Proverbs that says, a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. Let me tell you something. If you fall, get up. If you fall, get up. If you fall, get up. And all that verse is telling us, for every time you fall down, you need to have a get up. In other words, you fall down and you do wrong, get yourself back up and say, I'm going to try again. And you tear into it headlong and all God wants is for you and I to have one more get up than we had fall down. That's when victory comes. But I'm telling you, don't Give in to it. I've been counseling and helping people for a long time. And there are people who say my passions are strong and I've kind of given up. I'm not getting victory. And I always say that's a wrong thing to do. Do not give up. You know what you say, I just fail and fail and fail and fail at it. Can I tell you something? Let's fail and try all the way to heaven then. But don't quit on being moral. Okay. Now, we have talked about what fornication is. We've talked about the Bible's command to separate. We talked about it being common. It was in the book of Corinthians, but it's still wrong. We said that it defiles. We've talked about the consequences of fornication and some of the help to prevent fornication. Got a couple quick points and we'll be done. Areas in which you can separate. First of all, separate in your mind. If you fornicated in the past, don't be thinking about it. Block it. Don't use it as entertainment. Keep your mind clean. Keep your mind pure. If you have a problem with fornication, adultery, or any of the sexual misbehaviors, I'd memorize every scripture that I could find about purity and holiness and morality and virginity. Memorize the scripture. Why? Because the Bible says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." And what I would recommend is you memorize scripture in the area of your weakness and you let the antibiotic of the word of God drive the virus of sin out of your life. You memorize it, put it in your heart, and it'll make you stronger. I would separate in the area of television. I'd separate in the area of what you read. I would separate in the area of your friends. Now look, if you've got friends that are fornicating or committing adultery, I think you ought to love them, but I don't think you ought to be spending a lot of time with them. I'm talking about on Facebook too. I think you ought to separate in the area of your dress. Hey, listen, parents, I think you need to know this. For some of your kids, the video games they watch are full of filth. Full of filth. The way that some of those characters are wrapped in their clothing and the behavior, you take a bunch of 12, 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old kids and let them see enough of that gyration and the music that goes along with it and the clothes that have them wrapped so tight, and you wonder why your child struggles with morality. It may be the video games that they're watching. Separate in your mind, on television, your reading, your friends, your music, your dress, your video games, your conversations, your emails, the pictures that you have, and in your relationships. If I had a friend that was committing adultery or fornicating, I would tell them that I love them, but I wouldn't be spending a bunch of time with them. You say, I'm going to fix them. They're going to destroy you. They'll destroy you. I'm not saying be mean to them. I'm for them. But you better be careful. Why? They should be running from a lion. They're to flee, right? Okay, so the lion says, okay, I'm coming after that person right there. Look, there's their friend there to help them. You know what the lion's thinking? I get to eat too. I mean, isn't that how it works? If the lion's chasing your fornicating friend around the backyard and you go out there to help, do you say, okay, Mr. Lion, of course, you know, I'm not really a part of this. And the lion says, oh, you get a free pass. No, the lion says, sucker, jump in. Your dessert. So there are areas in which you separate. Now, let me say number 8. The Bible very clearly teaches that one should repent from fornication. What's repent mean? Repent means to turn and go the other way. To separate from fornication, you leave impurity and you go to purity. This word repent, used primarily in the New Testament, it's a military term. It means you're marching in one direction. Repent means about face. If you're fornicating or committing adultery, God said, stop, turn around, and run to purity. Revelation 2:21 says, repent from fornication. Revelation 9:21 talks about repenting from fornication. And let me assure you of one thing, and then we'll be done. 1 Corinthians chapter... No. Let's go to 1 John. And I'll read it to you. 1 John 1:9, the Bible says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is a forgiving God, and God is a healing God. When a person makes the mistake, when someone sins, when they do wrong, God can forgive them, and God can use them, and God can heal them. Now, I will have to tell you this, and listen real carefully. Once you lose your purity, it's gone. Say, but God forgave. Yes, He did, but your purity's still gone. I mean, it's still gone. A guy told me one time, he said, look, he said, when God forgave me, he said, it does not matter what I did in my past. It's all forgiven. I said, that's exactly right. But if you go out and wreck your motorcycle before you get saved and you get your leg cut off, well, after you get saved, you don't get your leg back. You probably won't be a dancer. You all do understand there are some things that you do to yourself. You will scar yourself. And boy, I thank God for that forgiveness that's available. When God saves us, He's going to take us to heaven. But I do want you to know, young people, once you lose your purity, it's gone. One time, it all takes. And I'd highly recommend you save it. Best gift you could ever give your mate. And so, the Bible says we should separate from fornication. Now, fornication in the Bible, it's not just about physical improprieties. God even talks about how we as Christians can be disloyal to Jesus, our groom. We can do it doctrinally. There are churches out there that are fornicating with the devil's doctrines instead of being pure with the Word of God. There are nations that fornicate away their loyalties to wrong things. Thank God for America. I hope she still believes one nation under God. There's a battle going on in our country about that, but part of America is fornicating away our relationship with God, with false gods. But tonight, the lesson is primarily about those that are unmarried, keeping themselves pure, and separating from fornication. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're not saved tonight, we're going to give you an opportunity to be born again. If you're not saved, if you'll come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're a young person, I hope that you'll understand what the Bible teaches about fornication. And so you know, as your pastor, I love you. I'm trying to help you. You say, you're trying to take all of our fun away? Really and honestly, I'm trying to let you have real true blue fun. Purity, you don't wake up the next morning and regret purity. God rewards purity.